Yesterday was Veterans Day, and I'd like to just take a moment as the offering is being collected to have those who are veterans or active military, maybe you're even law enforcement or fire department, those people that serve us. And the saying is that all gave some and some gave all. And so if you would stand this morning and just allow us to recognize you and to give thanks to you, please stand. Yes, you know who you are. God bless you. We're grateful for your lives, for who you are, and we hope that you know that you're loved and cherished. In your worship folder today, we have reinserted a little half sheet. And we went through this back a couple months ago, maybe. And it says covenant card. And this Sunday and next Sunday, we're reissuing it in case you haven't taken the time to complete that and turn it in. And the reason that we've reinserted it today is because the message that I want to share today really tells you what you're really coveting to. We are about souls. The ministry that God has called us to is multi-layered. We want to meet whatever needs we can meet in the lives of those God has entrusted to our circles of influence. However, our main objective is to reach souls. And that's our directive from God. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, meaning souls. And so I hope that as you partner with us with your talents, your treasures, your touch, volunteering, and with your treasures, I pray that you will know that you're investing in something that matters. And we just invite you to pray over that card if you haven't, and you can turn it in whenever you choose. End of the service, there'll be an opportunity to turn it in, but you can bring it back next Sunday or just pray over it. We're inviting you to be a part of something that is the greatest thing in all of the world, and it is to be focused on souls. Speaking of souls, I would invite you to turn, if you have your copy of the Gospels, to Matthew's account. I'm really just going to borrow one verse today from Matthew 16 and verse 26. Matthew 16 and verse 26. Now, what's happened here is Jesus has just led his disciples from the Galilee up to Mount Hermon to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And he took them there to invite them to know him and to know who he was. Caesarea Philippi had a nickname. It was called the Gates of Hell. The reason for that was because of all of the wicked religious activity that went on there. The worship of idols, the god Pan, Baal. Even children were offered as sacrifice in wicked religious rituals at Caesarea Philippi. There was a cavern there, still is today, that if you throw a rock, you never hear it hit the bottom. And so the locals really believed that that was the gates of hell, that that was where hell was entered and exited. And so Jesus marched his disciples, these Jewish boys, right into the middle of that. And if he had a flag or a banner, it simply said, "I ain't scared." That's probably what it said. Jesus knew who he was, and he took his disciples there to see if they would agree with who he was. And he asked two questions there: who do these people say that I am? And that was just a lead-in question, so he could get to the real question. Then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter got the answer right. He said, "You are the Christ, your Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." And he was feeling pretty good about himself. And Jesus said, "Oh, by the way, that was not your idea. My Father gave it to you." It was also there at Caesarea Philippi that Jesus began to tell his disciples about his future, that he had come to die and he would be taken to Jerusalem by the leaders and mistreated, beaten, crucified, and that he would come back on the third day. I don't think they heard that part. I think they sort of missed it. All the other stuff was so heavy. I think they missed the resurrection part. But he told them all of that. And so we know that he took them there to have them decide who he was. Did they want to know him? Not just about him, but did they want to know him as their king, as their savior? And then as he got to the end of the passage there, he started talking about something very dear to him, souls. And we come to verse 26 of Matthew 16, and this is the verse that I want us to have today. "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" That's the New International Version. The New Living Translation says it like this: "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" Now, I want to say today that this message is a work in progress. I'm nowhere near done with it. I just felt like God wanted me to begin today to talk about it. And I do have a title for the words I'd like to share today, and here it is: "Your soul is forever! Exclamation point. Know Jesus! Exclamation point. A few weeks ago, I was preaching from Philippians and that verse where the Apostle Paul says, "I want to know Christ." And there are many reasons, I'm sure, why the Apostle Paul said that, but no reason greater than his soul was eternal. And he knew because his soul was forever that he must know Christ. Maybe today I'm talking about how precious a soul is to God and how precious a soul should be to us. There is a campaign that's been going on for years, and once in a while you see it come back, TV advertising or whatnot. "A diamond is forever." You know, a diamond is really worthless. It really is not worth anything when it comes to precious gems. You can't burn it. It's really not good for anything. And so this cartel in Africa, they found this beautiful crystal glass we call diamonds. And they said, "We're going to have to attach some value to this so that we can be wealthy, you know." And so they looked to people like Americans. And I don't advise this if you're single and hoping to be engaged. I think it's a pretty difficult, not even a smart thing, perhaps foolish, to ask your beloved to marry you without a diamond. You see, what has happened is that love has been attached to a worthless piece of glass. And if I were to ask some of you, if your house were on fire and you were trying to get out, even though diamonds won't burn, you would want to get your diamonds because value has been attached to them. Well, I don't want to miss this point today. A diamond is not forever, but a soul is. A soul is forever. And you might say today, well, what's my soul worth? You know, my soul is nothing. Well, maybe so. But here's the issue. Love has been attached to your soul. When God gave His Son to die for us, for you and for me, love was attached to our souls. Value was attached to our souls. And so we have been purchased with the very blood of God. It is correct to say that we were so valuable to God that God came and died for us. God died. The Son of God died. And I want to say to you today, that says something about the value of your soul. And this verse says that if you had been the only one, He would have come and died. Because it says, you know, a whole world. A soul is worth a whole world. And we know for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. But it could have read, for God so loved a soul that He gave His one and only Son. And we need to understand this for ourselves, and we need to understand that as a church, this is our calling, is to go after what lasts forever. Souls, to pick up the ministry where Jesus left off while He ministers with and through us, to go and to seek and to save that which is lost. And so the most important treasure to God, a soul. The most important treasure to God, your soul, my soul. So I want to share a little bit, as best I can, just some notes that I've been going through. Every person carries a treasure with him or her, and it is a divine soul, a soul of God. God created the soul. When we read the verse, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? There's kind of five branches here that we can look at based on that scripture. The first branch is this. There's a supposal of a purchase. If a man shall gain. The proposition is hypothetical. Christ does not say he shall gain, but he puts forth a supposition. It is not a certain purchase, only supposed. The original rendering, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So we have the supposal of a purchase. The second branch is we have the purchase itself, the world. The third branch is the extent of the purchase. Not just the world, the whole world. The world with all its revenues and benefits. And so the extent of the purchase is the whole world. And fourth, we see the terms of the purchase. The terms of purchasing the whole world is that you lose your own soul. Not that your soul is annihilated, but that you lose the end of creation, the sense that why you were created was to be forever with your Creator, and it means that you will miss the glory of God for forever. If you make this purchase, the world over your soul, you lose eternal life with God. Now, there's something else I want to add here underneath the terms of the purchase. So if you're making notes, you can just put an A and a B. Because the loss of the soul is amplified, made louder, made more pronounced by two things. First, by the reality of what is at stake. It is your own soul. It is that which is nearest to you. That's a good definition of what the soul is. It is that which is nearest to us. The soul is the most noble part of who you are and who I am. It is the man, or it is the woman, the soul. Second of all, underneath this idea of the terms of the purchase, the loss of the soul being amplified, pronounced, is that this is a word we don't use much, but when I looked up words, this one seems to be the best one. The irrecoverableness, the foreverness of the loss. What shall you give in exchange for your soul? What shall you give? The soul cannot be exchanged. This is the point. There's no bail for a soul. What shall a man or a woman give in exchange for his or her soul? So, number one, there's a supposal of a purchase. Number two, there's the purchase. Number three, there's the extent of the purchase. Number four, there are the terms of the purchase. And underneath the terms, the idea of the reality of what is at stake, that which is nearest to you. And second, the irrecoverableness of the loss. And then the fifth idea, the fifth branch from this verse is this. Our Savior's verdict, what He has to say about this supposed purchase. For what are you profited? It is as if Christ said, you will have a hard bargain of it. You will repent of selling it at last. It is but the fool's purchase. It is a fool who would exchange the whole world for one soul. The whole world. I want to say today there are a lot of souls being exchanged for a lot less than the whole world. And how that must make God weep, that we have forgotten the value of our souls. Pastor, there's some doctrine going on here, some teaching. Yes, that's why I'm sitting down. People who have been around long enough, when they saw me pull his chair out, they knew what it meant. Years ago, I said, when I'm sitting, I'm teaching. When I'm standing, I'm preaching. There's a doctrine here that I want to make sure we don't miss. The soul of a human being is a jewel more precious than the whole world. This is the doctrine. All souls are of one price. All souls. In this sense, that maxim holds true. All souls are alike. One soul is not more valuable than another to God. To God, all souls are alike. All souls. So if you bought this lie that somehow your soul doesn't matter to God, or even doesn't matter as much as someone else's soul, then that's exactly what you've done. You bought a lie. The enemy loves when we buy lies. He's the author of lies and deception. All souls are alike. I've been praying for quite a while now that the Lord would help me to realize this. that every single person I come in contact with, whether they are immediately attractive or totally unattractive to me initially, that He will help me to see every soul the way He sees every soul. I have actually prayed this prayer. It was in the first book that I wrote, Relational Leadership. The prayer is in there. I said, please, Lord, help me to see every soul the way You saw every soul while You were on the cross. You know, I've learned that the Lord will answer a prayer like that. It's hard for me to walk past people. And it's becoming more difficult all the time. Because the Lord is helping me to realize that from His perspective, which is what really matters, from His perspective, every soul is alike in value. You think of the worst soul you know, the very worst soul you know, the most unattractive soul that you can bring to your mind. Yes, I'm going where your mind's going. Yes, God still would have sent His Son to save that soul. That's why we do what we do as a church. We're all out for souls, and we go for the worst first to prove that all the others are valuable to God. When the offering plate comes by and you place God's tithe back in that He loaned to you to see if you bring it back, when you put it back in, that's going for souls. It's what we do here. Sometimes we lose our way, like all human-led organizations. But I want you to know from my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength, I only exist for Jesus Christ to manifest Himself through my life for souls. We got this Discover 301 coming up this Saturday. So far, no one signed up for it. No pressure. Just an invitation. At least I haven't seen anyone that signed up for it. I want you to know that Discover 301 is about us seeing souls as God sees them and making sure we don't pass them by. That's what it's about, really. We're talking about other things, but it's about souls. Well, Pastor, why didn't you tell us that? We'd have signed up. I did. You can get the pad back, you know. I plan to be here. It's about souls. This beautiful Hope Distributed food bank that's going to be open here just in a little while, and all that's been done back here on the packed lot for all these years, we are so glad that we could feed hungry stomachs. But the reason is that hopefully the Lord will entrust us also with souls. That's what it's all about. We have a lot of people that volunteer at Hope Distributed, and they have nothing to do with our church. They're not even part of it. They wouldn't even consider themselves churchy. But they come and volunteer because they want to do their humanitarian thing, and they want to serve, and that's beautiful. We love for them to come. We wish more would come. But what they may not know is we're after their soul too. Because the soul of a man and a woman is a jewel more precious to God than the whole world. Every soul is of more value than a world. Every soul. You're saying, I don't think I believe that. Well, you're not God. He's the one who put this whole experiment together called life and people. He wrote the rules to this deal, and He says, one soul is more precious than a world. You know that as a parent, this helped me raising my children. When they were going through trials and hard times especially, and they were struggling with value and who they were, I would be reminded that if they had been the only soul Jesus would have come and died for them. And even maybe on some days as a parent, when I was about to give up on them, not Jesus. Because souls are everything to Him. He is the pearl of great price. The pearl that was sold to purchase the field. You know, that the whole idea. I've got the story kind of rolling there a little bit sideways on you. But He came and really He just purchased a field because we were the jewel in the field that He wanted to extract for eternity. It's very important if we believe this that every soul is precious to God. And every soul more precious than a whole world. So let's talk about that for a moment. The soul is very precious. You know, I call a lot of people precious. I get in trouble. Men don't particularly like it. They need to get over it. Quit being so macho. You know? There is nothing greater than to be precious to God. Nothing greater. And your soul is very precious. The soul, in fact, is the glory of all creation. The soul is a beam of God. It's a sparkle of celestial brightness. That's what a soul is in this world. There is in the soul an idea, even a resemblance to God. The soul is a sparkling diamond set in a ring of clay. Think about it. Think how much attention we give to the body. I checked my hair 3 times before I left home this morning. It still looked bad, but you know, I came on anyway. You know, we give so much attention to the body. And you say, well, Pastor, you can give a little more attention to yours. Yes, I understand. Just in case you want to know, I see my doctor this week for that yearly you know what. And I believe the body matters. I believe the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But let's not get carried away. Okay? Because the soul is a diamond set in a ring of clay. The soul is the vessel that we honor God through most. God Himself is served in the soul. The soul has a winged swiftness to fly to heaven. All you bluegrass and old-timey song lovers like me, this is what the songwriter was thinking about when the words were penned. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Talking about the soul. The soul has a winged swiftness to fly to heaven. Yesterday, I stood in a cemetery as part of the burial of the cocoon of Tammy Weiss, my dear friend, like a sister to me. And I looked at her little children and I said, on a cold wintry night, don't worry about Mom. She's not here. She's not in this box. She's not in this ground. This is her cocoon. And on Tuesday morning, Jesus showed up, and like a butterfly, her soul went to be with Jesus. Winged swiftness went to be with Jesus. And I said, Mom's not here. She's going to the big house. I can say that because of the soul. The soul is God's house that He has made to dwell in. The understanding, the desires, the affections are the 3 stories in this house of our soul. And how sad it is that some have rented out the soul. And now the devil is the tenant of a soul that was created by God for God for him to inhabit, but some have rented that sacred soul out to the devil. That ought to bother us. That ought to put us on our knees praying. Lord, help me to understand that the soul was created for your presence. And so the preciousness of the soul is seen in its intrinsic worth and its estimated worth. Let me talk just a moment about this. I told you I'm not going to get through this. It's okay. The soul is a spiritual substance. It's a spiritual substance. It's that forever quality that we have within us. Intrinsic, essential, spiritual. It also has an estimated worth. Jesus set a high value upon the soul. He made it and he bought it. Think about this. God made the soul. It should belong to him. But we sold it. And it was so essential to him that he came back and bought it back. He came to buy back what was already his. That's love. That's precious. You know, it's like this. It's like we went and pawned our souls, and we couldn't buy them back. But God could. And he did. I asked Pastor Joe to come. I thought when I was studying this, it was just for me. But this week, I was in revival down in my old homeland. This is my new homeland. But I was down in the Holy Land, down in North Carolina. Why do I call it the Holy Land? I don't think I've ever told you. I kind of have a whole message on this that I'm hoping to write, but by then you would have forgotten that I told you. I call it the Holy Land because it's the first place my soul encountered Jesus. It's the first place that Jesus leaned in on my eternal soul and said, "You are precious to me." That's why I call it the Holy Land. This week I was invited down by Pastor Porter Graves and Pastor Justin over in Moorhead City, and they were doing a revival with the churches together. I've never done one of those. It was really neat. I preached 3 services in the one church and 2 services in the other, and all the people came to all 5. It was an amazing, beautiful thing. But I preached those 5 messages. And I have never been more aware in my life that every message was Jesus reaching through me to know souls. And the reason he wants to know souls is because the soul is forever. The reason he wants to know you is because your soul is forever. And it breaks his heart to think of the tragedy of your forever without him. Because he knows the soul. He knows the agony of eternity without the maker of your soul. Without the purchaser of your soul. And he wants to know you because to him a soul is everything. To him a soul is the only thing. And I was so aware each service that Jesus, the Redeemer, was reaching through me to know souls. The first revival I ever preached was at my mom and dad's church on Harker's Island in 1992. At that revival, 40 souls came to know Jesus. 40 souls. From age 6 to age 96 came to know Jesus. It was the most humbling thing I had ever experienced. Many of them came out of curiosity to see if I would mess something up, because I was brand new. But I even understood at that moment that God will use any soul to reach any soul. It wasn't about me. But it was about Jesus saying, well, if you'll preach this revival, I'm going to reach through you. And at the end of the week, 40 souls, all people I knew who had been lost, were now found in Christ. They knew Jesus. I guess you know that propelled me into full-time ministry. My dad told me, a fisherman, he said, Carrie, you've seen full nets. That will never compare with lined alders. My dad is right. This week when I went to preach this revival, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me in a real whisper. It was almost like he said, thanks for partnering with me again in souls here. You want to go for 40 again? I didn't even answer him because I thought it was my idea. See, I thought I had come up with that. But at the end of the last service on Wednesday night, 40 souls had come to know Jesus. 40 souls who 1 week ago did not know Jesus came to know Jesus. I didn't know, but I had another pastor remind me, 40 is the number in the Bible that means complete. So I felt like that revival was complete. I hope it's continuing today as they're preaching, but 40 souls. Recovered by the Redeemer. It's not because I'm special. I've just said to Jesus, if you're looking for a partner, I'll be the junior partner, you'll be the senior partner. As my inheritance, give me the lost for your glory. This morning, head bowed, eyes closed, I invite you, if you would like to come out of your seat today, we just dim the lights a little bit. I don't want any pressure on anyone. Don't want anyone looking around. This is not about anyone but you. This is your soul. I'm going to ask a question. If it were just you in the room today, no one else were here, and you had heard what I have shared today, and after I shared, I exited the room, and Jesus himself came here and said, would you like to know me? I don't mean know about me. I mean know me. I wonder if you would come and kneel at his feet. This altar represents the feet of Jesus. And so this morning, just for a few moments, as Pastor Joe sings a song, I want to remind you of the title, Your Soul is Forever! Exclamation point. Know Jesus. Know Jesus. It's no pressure on me. It's just a pleasure for me to invite you. But one day it won't matter what people thought. I hope this is the day that it won't matter what people thought. But today, if the Lord has spoken to you about how he cherishes your soul and how he would have come if you had been the only one, would you like to come today Would you like this to be the day that you come and kneel and say, I want to know Jesus for forever and today? All you have to do is tell Him so. He's already eager to know you. Come quickly.
All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is
here for just a moment. I believe today the Lord drew a larger crowd because of the topic at hand. Seems to be more people here in the first service than we're accustomed to. Some of you have noticed that. It's the prevenient grace of God. He has drawn us here today, not so you could hear me talk, but so you could hear His truth. And He's reaching through me today to you. Souls matter. Souls matter to God. Souls matter to me. Souls matter to this church. If you are not in right relationship with God today, in my opinion, it would be a tragedy for you to leave here without kneeling at this altar. I know coming to an altar is not an easy thing, but it is an eternal thing because it's a place where we say, I am not ashamed to say my soul is precious. And I just want to thank Jesus for redeeming me, for buying me back from that pitiful pawn shop where I had sold my eternal being. And He came with His own blood and said, I'm going to attach love to this soul. I'm going to die for it to buy it back. So, this morning, I want us to stand for just a moment. I may ask you to be seated again, but I'm going to ask us to stand for just a moment. And only with the Lord's permission do I do this. But today is solemn and deep. And I want to make sure we don't let it pass by without realizing it for what it is. Today, I'm going to ask you, if the Lord gives you permission, He's certainly given me permission to say it, to look to the person next to you and say, if you would like to pray today, I will go with you. For just a moment, we'll pause in case the Lord has given you permission. You can blame it on me. I'm the one who said it. But to just look to the person next to you and say, if you would like to go pray today, I will go with you. And if anyone has asked that question and there has been an affirmative answer, would you both just come? Just come and kneel here at these altars as Pastor Joe sings us to the end of the song. And then I will have a prayer asking God to do what He does when people come and seek Him for the favor of their soul's eternal life.
Now my heart's desire is to know You more, to be found in You, and known as Yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness.
Knowing You, Jesus.
Knowing You.
I'm not surprised that souls have responded, but I am delighted. I'm not awestruck, but it is awesome. How can we resist a Redeemer who loved us so much that You would rather die than live forever without us? You are everything, Lord. And knowing You is the only thing that matters in the end and for eternity. Lord, today my prayer is that those who are kneeling today go beyond decision making. Yes, they've chosen to come. They've made a decision, and that is initially important. But my prayer is that You will bring upon their souls conversion, that You would turn them from spiritual death to spiritual life, that You would adopt them as your legitimate sons and daughters, that You would justify them, that they would turn from sin and turn to You, and that as a result of that, when You look at them, it will be just as if they never sinned, because Your blood has the power to purify us from all sin. And so, yes, Lord, these are Your diamonds. And our prayer is that You would bring us to such a state of brilliance that You can see Your own reflection in Your jewels, and that others will see Your reflection in us as well. Lord, also something else important here has been proven, that one soul reacts to the touch of another soul. And how that should say to us that when we are out and about living our lives, that if we interact with souls, there is an opportunity that you, the Redeemer, will reach through the likes of us and quicken those souls that are paralyzed by sin. And Lord, we feel unworthy to be a part of the work that you came to the planet, your planet. That is, you came to seek and to save those who are lost. And so today, Lord, you know how many have been recovered here today. Maybe some who just want to make certain. But the call was very intricate. If you want to know Jesus today, come. And when the question was asked, if you'd like to go pray today, I will go with you. We are only here today because knowing you is everything for a soul. I pray, God, that you will love us and teach us, and that you will continue to nurture our souls, and that you will so save our souls that we'll be able to get over ourselves and begin to focus on other souls and to bring them also to the Redeemer, the one who buys back what sin has stolen. And so today, Lord, these are your souls. These souls were made for you to inhabit. And today, if the devil has been inhabiting any soul here, he's kicked out. Because now Jesus, your presence has come into your souls. And now, the landlord has loved his own. And so, Lord, today, do what you do. Be our God. Save us. Sanctify us. Whatever the need is in our lives today, we want you to know that we know you are our only hope. We have nowhere else to go. We need nowhere else to go. You alone are life. Not only do you have the words of life, you are life. You are life everlasting. And so we praise you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can pray as long as you like, or you can feel free to return to your seat. By faith today, your soul will be fulfilled. If everyone would just be seated in the sanctuary for just a few moments, I think it would be okay if we would applaud the Redeemer of souls. And I believe that if we could see beyond the veil, we would see a weeping Jesus with nail-scarred hands applauding your return to Him. Wow. Heaven touching earth today in the afterglow of a saint's movement to heaven. It happens almost always. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today, we're going for souls, and we're going for the worst first. In Calcutta, India, Pastor AJ is a extension of our local church. That's the best way to say it. It's called the Maranatha Church of the Nazarene. The last prayer request that he sent to me, he said, "Brother Carey, please pray for us. A young girl who was demon possessed came to our church, and now she belongs to Jesus." Amen. That was the last prayer request. Praise be to God. And there's a lot of spirituality in India, but that's not equal to godliness. A lot of spirituality, a lot of religion. But Pastor AJ is offering them Jesus. And God has allowed us the privilege of partnering with Him in Calcutta. Today is the offering, the love offering for the Calcutta Maranatha Church of the Nazarene. We are the source that God has provided for them to reach souls. One day in heaven, there will be people coming up to you and saying, I hear that you invested in Calcutta, India. I am here because you gave. And so today, if you'd like to give, just make your checks payable to the church. If you go online, hfcngive.com, just mark it, Calcutta. You can spell it like they spell it, or you can spell it like we spell it. C-A-L-C-U-T-T-A. And all of this will go to the ministry in Calcutta. Ushers, please go ahead and wait on us this morning. I kind of have already mentioned it, but Discover 301 is this Saturday. And if you would like to come, you can just grab that little sheet that went by you earlier and make it known. Or you can speak to Pastor Margaret, or you can send an email to the church or call the church and maybe ask for Edie Adams. Get on the list to be here. We're going to have breakfast, and it's going to be 8:30 to 11:30. Discover 301, Light Your World. Light Your World, Find a Soul. That's kind of what it's going to be about. So we invite you to come, and we know people will show up. But we'd love for you to come if it fits in your schedule and you can make that happen. You can stand now as the ushers have almost completed the offering. And I know we went a little long today, but no apologies whatsoever. It's hard to squeeze eternity into a time slot, and God will help us catch up. I would say that if you need prayer still, just go by the well outside the cafe and someone will be there right after the service to pray with you. First-time friends, right at the back of the sanctuary, under the Holiness Unto the Lord sign, we have a gift for you. And celebrate recovery tomorrow. Meal at 6, service at 6:30. All are invited. Pastor Joe, are you still around? Can you just lead us in the doxology? You may not know this. This may be one of those songs we need to get a slide, so if ever we want to use it, we put it up. I've been told in modern hymndom, this is the first hymn. I don't know if that's right or not. But it seems right now. So we're going to sing it as a response to what God has done and is doing in our midst today.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.